welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm her mom, Karen.
And today we're coming right back at you with that 24/7 Fortnite grind. Watch this game full on in a full on battle royale on the That's a Thing Twitch account, where you can play, when you can pay us to play a free game on our phones and make stilted jokes about how mediocre we are at fictional warfare. Now, this seems like a big change, but we assure you that Fortnite is the wave of the future and not just another short-lived app trend. Before we learn any more, here's a word from our sponsor.
Holy man, I didn't understand half of the words you just said. So we have a lot of ground to cover. But before we get to that, I will just let our listeners know that That's a Thing is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. And you'll hear more about the network and a new sponsor and all kinds of things later in the show. Okay, what are you talking about?
Well, now that all the advertising stuff is out of the way, back to the official Fortnite fan cast, because we both know a great deal about Fortnite, right, Mom?
I don't know about Fortnite. Fortnite is, as far as I know, a British way of saying 2 weeks.
Okay, that is not what we're talking about.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Okay, Fortnite, spelled Fortnite, all is one word, is a app and a video game and the cool trendy thing that teenage boys are doing on their phones right now.
On their phones?
Yes, okay. On their phones. And grown men are doing on their computers. But like the teenage boys do the phone version.
And only men?
Not only men, but only men talk about it.
Mostly. Not
yes.
To be too gender reductive about
men,
it. Okay.
I have never heard a girl in my social exposure talk about Fortnite.
Okay.
So Fortnite, released its paid early release on July 25th, 2017. The free version is going to come out some point in 2018. And it was marketed by the developer Epic Games by giving out free copies to Twitch streamers.
Okay.
So it's very viral marketing. Just give it to people for free and the people will tell other people about it.
Yeah. So before you go any further, I think we should tell our moms and dads in the audience who might not know what Twitch is.
Okay, so Twitch is a video streaming site. So whereas there's video embedding hosting sites like YouTube where the video is already recorded and edited and uploaded, Twitch is live.
Right.
And so people will play video games mostly on Twitch. That's what it's known for. And people watch it as it's happening.
Okay.
So that's Twitch. It's spelled T-W-I-T-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's one of the most popular games on Twitch. Just before recording this episode on a Sunday morning, 134,000 people were watching people play Fortnite on Twitch.
Wow.
At that one weird time to be doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine what it gets to be like right before bedtime. Like, that's so many people, right? It's currently around the third most popular game to watch, but mm-hmm. for a while it was the first. And there's like 13 million people subscribed to the Fortnite Twitch account, which is essentially where all the people who are streaming Fortnite are attached to. It's the one Twitch account. So that people can who just want to watch Fortnite can watch whoever's streaming it. So that is how Fortnite got popular and got attention. Do you understand what Fortnite is?
I have no idea what Fortnite is.
Okay, let's explain what Fortnite is. Okay, so Fortnite is actually kind of two things. There's the game and there's the battle royale. And they're kind of separate connected entities. So let's run down the game first because nobody cares about it and nobody plays it because it's $50. And God, who would pay that much for a game that's going to be free really soon?
Okay, but there are people who will, but okay.
Yeah, there are people who will. Those people have made a grave mistake. Okay, so the developer is Epic Games. The original Fortnite, Save the World, was in development for like 6 years. So they worked really hard on it. And the concept is that it's a combination of a survival game, like a fighting monsters battle survival game, and Minecraft.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I can see why that would appeal to people.
Yeah. So you know what Minecraft is.
I do know what Minecraft is. I've watched your brother play a lot of Minecraft.
Yes, you have watched my brother play so much Minecraft and then suddenly lose interest in Minecraft as people do. So there's the building aspect and resource collection, but you're also punching zombies in the face or whatever.
Right.
So this is a version where you can play single or with up to four friends, and there are different types of characters that do different roles in the game. So there's the constructors. I wonder what they do. Well, they build structures and stuff. Right. They're faster at it than other players because other players can do whatever. But these are the people who are adapted to that. There's soldiers who have attack and they have the guns. So they have the actual range. Ninjas, who are the melee fighters. They go right in there. And outlanders who collect loot and stuff. I don't know how they made them better at collecting loot. I watched videos. I tried to understand. I guess they're just lucky. Like, their power is luck. I feel like the outlander is kind of the weak link here. But I don't know. I tried to download it. It wouldn't work. And I didn't want to wreck my computer. So I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't download the expensive version. I downloaded like a free-to-play demo thing. And then it didn't work. So whatever. The point, I don't care, okay? I just won't be cool. Anyway, so this version can be played on the PS4, the Xbox, the Mac, and the PC, but it's like $53 Canadian plus in-app purchases and stuff. So it's like over $100 if you go full out, and it's going to be free really soon.
Why is it going to be free really soon?
Well, this is like to play almost like a demo beta version because they wanted to refine the content. So people who really wanted to play Fortnite could pay money, but then it's going to be free when they're really done the game.
Okay.
I don't understand gamer psychology. Okay, I just report it. Anyway, so it has teams of four. It's mission-based. You have to achieve an objective. You build your fort. You set up traps. You kill the monsters. Very simple. Kind of cool. Nobody is going to play it on the like vast public mainstream, and it's not streamed very often, even though this is like the crown jewel of Fortnite. But it has one advantage. You can get currency from that and put it into your Battle Royale account in game currency. So it kind of has a purpose to the modern use of Fortnite. Anyway, let's talk about Battle Royale, because okay, people actually care about that.
Okay.
So Battle Royale is free on the iPhone, Mac, PC, Xbox, PS4. You can play it anywhere. And it's like a Hunger Games style Battle Royale, players killing other players for like 20 minutes. That's all it is. Okay. But it also has the building aspect, which immediately distinguishes it from other similar games. And also, you can play it on your iPhone, which means that it's way more convenient than other similar games, which is why it's so popular. That and like Twitch streamers love it. Anyway, so it was released September 2017, and it can have up to 100 players in one game with a four-person team mode and everybody versus everybody else mode, where you can't team up or you'll get banned because you're a jerk. I'm sorry, I've played similar style games. People who team up are the worst human beings on the planet if it's not a game where you formally team up, okay? Do not do this. You will be the worst person and everybody else will hate you. Understood? Great. Anyway, so it also incorporates all the resource collection, but it's more about shooting people down and whatever. And another cool thing about it is instead of just having a big map, you can pick where you land on the map, but instead of just having a big map, after a minute of gameplay, this big force field circle thing goes onto the map. And if you're outside of the circle, then you lose health. So you have to continuously stay inside this shrinking circle. So instead of the game going on forever because two people are camping way out at the corners of the map away from each other, you have to move together, which is great because otherwise the game would go on forever. A Fortnite round is 15 to 20 minutes, whereas most of these rounds can go up for like more than half an hour. And that's for one round where you're just going to have, like, at the end, two people standing off and trying not to die. So it makes it more entertaining for viewers because there's continuous kills happening.
Okay.
We are bloodthirsty, okay? It's fine.
So it feels like this is the thing that people are doing on their phones now who used to do Angry Birds on their phones?
It's like, it's not similar as a game, but it's similar as a trend. Yes. Okay, yeah. I would consider this an app trend more than a long-term established thing. Minecraft is like a long-term established thing, but also kind of a trendy thing. I think most people actually dropped off Minecraft after the initial hype. Like, there are like tens of millions of people who play Fortnite, a battle royale.
Mm-hmm.
And it made like $100 million in its first 3 days through in-app purchases.
What do you buy in-app?
It was really hard to find information on this, but things, I believe for battle royale, it's less weapons and more aesthetic things, costumes for your character, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I do know that there is a bit of a paywall in the main game that I've heard about, where you have to pay, it's essentially the idea of pay to play,
mm-hmm.
where you are playing the game and it's fine, and then you reach a mission where it's really difficult, and eventually you just have to buy in-game loot in order to complete anything efficiently.
Right.
It is my understanding that that is not the problem in Battle Royale, and that buying things is just a decision that you decide to make because you want stuff.
Okay.
But it's a free game, so if you decide to give the publishers your money, whatever, you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, but...
People might be deciding, I love this game, I want to compensate these creative people for making this thing that I love. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. So we have Fortnite Battle Royale, people paying it, people playing it. They're going to stop eventually. Like, it's a Pokemon Go situation, I feel like, here, more than anything.
Mm.
You know what Pokemon Go is?
I do know what Pokemon Go is, yes.
Yes, Pokemon Go was the Pokemon you could walk with or drive with and get hit by another car with, which has happened an ungodly amount of times and it's frankly caused over 100 deaths probably, and it's very disconcerting.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Like with...
You're going to have to point to proof of that in the show notes.
I will send the game theory that I got this idea from, but there was actually an increase of traffic accidents in the United States after Pokemon Go came out.
Wow.
So indirectly, it probably killed people. So anyway, Fortnite won't kill people. That's a good thing.
But
it's the similar idea of a bunch of people who are on this game together playing each other from different parts of the world, different parts of the country. And eventually, people are going to stop playing it. People will get bored with it, and then it won't be as fun because there won't be as many people playing. And it's just going to kind of fizzle out. That's my assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong. I'm not an oracle. I've not been anointed by Apollo, so I don't know. But I've watched a lot of app trends come and go. Like, nobody talks about Angry Birds anymore. For a while, Angry Birds was the thing.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, right?
It feels like there's another layer on this, though, with the watching of it on Twitch. Because people don't, like, Pokemon Go is interesting because it happens out in the world in real life, right?
Yeah.
And people, like, go to places to do it or to capture the things or go to the gym or whatever.
Get the Pokemons, yes.
Yes. But you wouldn't watch a Twitch stream of someone Pokemon Going.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe you would, but I don't think so. But this has both participation and consumption.
Yes. People like watching it. Like I wouldn't watch a stream of it because honestly most streamers are really awkward and stilted because they're trying to perform live and also be good at video games at the same time. There's also kind of a sleazy aspect on Twitch where they'll do like strip Fortnite, where every time I kill somebody, a voiceless woman next to me will take off an item of clothing. Which
really?
Is, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole thing people do. Yes. And okay. I kind of want to stay away from that because that's sketchy. Yeah, but the idea is that it's also, like, it's not something I would do, but there's definitely something enticing about watching it. Like, I listened to a guy do commentary over his gameplay explaining his strategy, and that accompanied with, like, it has a very appealing art style,
mm-hmm.
Fortnite. So those things together, it was actually reasonably entertaining to watch. So that is an advantage Fortnite has. But how long are people going to want to watch it at the same time? Audiences have very fickle attention spans, and trends die very quickly.
Yeah, but if you can build something that has, like, tens of hundreds of millions of people paying attention to it, like, that's a win, don't you
think?
That
is a win, yeah. Yes. They have won the heck out of it, and yeah. I kind of feel bad for them because nobody really cares about the original game that they're trying to put out. They spend 6 years on it, and then they're like, also, we should do a fighting game on the side, and nobody cares about the original, but whatever. I'm sure they're rolling in piles of money and don't care.
I'm sure they don't care. I mean, there's all kinds. There's such a history on the internet of people aiming to do one thing and ending up doing something completely different that turns into a big thing. Like Twitter is actually that. Twitter started, I believe, as something actually to do with podcasting. And then it whatever they were trying to do wasn't working, but this side project that they were also doing was catching on, and now here we are.
The internet is made of happy mistakes and horrible, horrible, intentional attempts at things. So anyway, yes, that is the idea, is that Fortnite exists. And we talked and went on a huge tangent, but it was hopefully entertaining. I'm very tired. Anyway, the function of Battle Royale is entirely separate from Save the World, except for the currency, which is in-game and can also be purchased and then put into the game. Make your real money into fake money. This is the world we live in. If you have heard of Fortnite, you've heard of Battle Royale. That's the version you've heard of. And you've probably heard of it through the paranoid news media coverage of it.
Oh.
Yes.
I want to hear more about that. That's my favorite part. But before we get into that, can we do an ad?
Yes, we can do an ad.
This episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by Yes Painting, which is a new social enterprise started in Edmonton to help you spruce up your house while giving youth who have had it rough a chance to build a better future for themselves. Yes Painting works just like any other contract painting service. The difference is that the work is done by young people who've been involved with youth empowerment and support services, which helps 15 to 21-year-olds who are facing difficult realities such as homelessness, trauma, addictions, or neglect. So this is apt for our show because we talk about 15 to 21-year-old stuff sometimes.
Yes.
Not everybody has it as well as you do. And so it's cool that Youth Empowerment and Support Services is there to help them and also to help give them some job skills through Yes Painting.
Absolutely. It's really important to have institutions like this for young people.
Yeah. Yes Painting teaches business skills and life skills, pays the workers a living wage, and donates half of the profit to youth empowerment and support services. I really like their slogan. It's, they're making the world a better place, one job at a time.
Yes.
Yeah. Check it out on social at Yes Painting. That's Y-E-S-S Painting. They're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please sign up for your free quote at yespainting.com. That's Y-E-S-S Painting.com. All right, tell me about the freak out on media.
Oh boy. So Fortnite made the terrible, terrible mistake of existing as a video game when people were trying to find an excuse for children being violent that wasn't adults. So, what are they going to pick? Latest game children are playing. Oh my, it must be that one's fault and not a problem that's been going on for decades. Yes. I have strong opinions on this. Anyway, the point is that major news coverage, articles on Forbes, articles like on the news sites that old people read, and on the TV channels that old people watch because nobody actually wants cable anymore.
Right.
They're all saying, Fortnite is the new game your kids are playing, but it's addictive and violent.
Ah.
Oh, no. Yes, Fortnite is addictive. Every app game is addictive. They are made to hook your brain in until you suddenly get bored and stop. Fortnite is not special. And I can't believe that news media can't wrap their mind around this. Like, I can see a paywall in an idle game where you just sit there and press buttons and suddenly you have to wait like 3 days to be able to buy something new on the game, driving somebody to a murderous rampage way more easily than I could see Fortnite doing that.
Okay, but the essence of the game is killing other people.
It's killing cartoony avatars of other people.
But it's different from buying stuff or even flinging like cartoon birds or pigs or whatever happened. Yeah, birds at pigs, right?
Yeah, it's different in that way. And I guess people get freaked out when they see 12-year-olds, because the app is 12 and up rated on the App Store, which I thought, whoa, that's kind of low, but whatever.
Yeah.
But like the thing is that it's not a person violently exploding into blood and guts, and it doesn't look like GTA. It's not a Grand Theft Auto style situation. The character kind of just flops down and disappears. It's very firmly an avatar-like appearance, and it's a very simple cartoony art style.
Right.
And these statistics aren't super solid. They're very skewed. But I watched Game Theory, and Game Theory did a video going like, stop blaming Fortnite. This is the dumbest game to pick, right? And the idea, the whole our violent video games causing people to be violent problem is a whole correlation causation problem, yes. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because is it the video games are turning people violent? Or is it violent people like games where they can shoot other people instead of games where they build a horse farm or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to choose Fortnite over Sims. And that's because their personality is better suited to Fortnite than it is to Sims. It's not Fortnite's fault. It's their personality type and whatever damage they have that's putting them there. Right. So stop blaming Fortnite. Let the 16-year-olds play their dumb game in the back of the classroom. Except that's kind of the problem that Fortnite actually
has. That seems like a problem. That seems like an actual problem that I would care about.
Yeah, I've experienced this firsthand. The kids behind me in Spanish class and in social studies class, who are kind of the same kids, they function in the same friend group, will whisper about it. They'll be like, oh yeah, I'm doing so well in Fortnite. Oh yeah, did you see that Fortnite thing? Fortnite, Fortnite, Fortnite. And I'm like, Spanish. Hablo español en Fortnite. Yeah, but they actually do play in class, and they'll like have their phones under their desk and they'll be playing Fortnite because it's on an app, and therefore it's more conveniently accessible than a lot of other video games of a similar style and appeal. So that's kind of a problem.
But it's not a Fortnite problem. It's a phone in the classroom problem.
It's an accessibility problem.
Yeah. Which, you know, could be dealt with by saying no phones in the classroom.
Except that you'd have to enforce that. Rely on students having phones now.
Yeah. And that's a thing that I don't think everybody fully appreciates, right?
Yeah.
Like, you for a long time had a flip phone,
and only a flip phone,
and that actually stopped you from being able to fully participate in some assignments.
Yeah, like they expect you to Google things on your phone.
Yeah.
So you can't just take the phones out of the classroom now. Phones are part of the classroom, they're here to stay, but kids aren't always going to use them for educational purposes. So it's kind of this dilemma of, do we keep progressing with integrating this new technology, or do we throw all that out so that students will pay attention? I don't know.
Well,
and
it's a really hard problem,
yeah.
Because part of it is you want students to pay attention because what you're teaching or the way you're teaching it is more engaging than Fortnite. And that's a pretty high bar for a teacher to hit, right?
Yeah, it's not really fair on the teachers, but also, like, I'm sure the game developers didn't think, what's a great way to wreck education?
No.
Like, no. They went, we're going to make a fun side game, and then the teenagers were like, oh, yeah, let's play this everywhere.
Right.
Like, it's just barrels out of control. So, Fortnite now has a disclaimer on the loading screen, at least for the app version, that says, don't play in the classroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they actually said don't. Like, Pokemon Go did the don't do this while driving thing.
Right?
Like that.
Yeah.
This should be obvious, but we're going to tell you so that we don't get sued.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So it got severe enough that Fortnite actually had to go up and say, don't get mad at us. We're telling them not to. Look, do not. So
this is so interesting to me because, like, when you said you wanted to do an episode on Fortnite, I said, what's Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
So somehow I am not tuned into old people panic media because I haven't even heard anybody saying, you know, this is the latest thing to ruin our youth.
Which I think is more in the United States, too.
Okay.
That's the other thing.
And then, but also this hasn't filtered through to me by paying attention to, what's going on in schools. I guess I'm not paying enough attention to that either. Cause I would think that if it's a problem that is so pervasive that The app developers have put a disclaimer on the screen that this is something that's being discussed in staff rooms every day, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do to get kids to stop playing Fortnite and start listening to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow you're just thoroughly under a
rock. I'm not paying attention to anything. No.
Beautifully under a rock. Yeah. I think that if you had a boy my age who was into things that most boys my age are into, mm-hmm. you would have known about Fortnite.
Okay.
If I wasn't like angsty and didn't talk to you, which is also a possibility in this weird parallel universe we've decided exists. Or if John was into contemporary games instead of Mario. John's my brother, if you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, if he was into more contemporary games, I feel like he'd be interested in Fortnite. But he isn't. So, like, I think you're good at staying away from panic media compared to, like, me, who actively seeks it out and then goes, huh, that's dumb. But,
it has to somehow infiltrate my social media, and I guess I'm not following anybody who's freaking out about Fortnite right now.
Yeah, which is good, because people shouldn't freak out about Fortnite. It's gonna die in like a year, okay? It's fine. Calm down. Make me president. I understand how to handle bees. Anyway,
Don't do that.
I think that's all we have to talk about in terms of Fortnite.
Okay, well, I think I can think of a good segue into our ad for our fellow members of the Alberta Podcast Network, because this conversation is making me think of a couple of other podcasts that are on the network that could maybe have some things to say about this. So one is called Ed, Conversations About the Teaching Life, and it's a great podcast about education, hosted by Shane Lawrence. And 3 episodes per month, he interviews an educator from anywhere in the world about innovative things that they're doing in the classroom. And then once a month, he has a check-in with colleagues here in the Edmonton area, and talks about what it's like to be a teacher and how hard it is and how fun it is and all that. You should listen to it. You'll get an appreciation for the other side. Also, press start to join. They do a weekly news in the internet kind of world show, but they also have about monthly or every 6 weeks, they do a deep dive into history of video games. And I'm really curious about what Alan and Josh might think about your thoughts about Fortnite.
I think they'll find it horribly uninformed and hugely condescending. I also feel like that's my aesthetic and I won't change it.
We'll see.
Yes.
And I just want to do one more quick shout out to Assumptions, which is a podcast that has nothing to do with video games or teaching, but has to do with understanding somebody else's worldview. So Kyle is an atheist and his co-host Daniel is a Christian, and they talk to each other about their different how they see the world differently because of the place that they're coming from, but they do it in a really respectful way because they're friends.
Yeah.
And they shout it out to us, so we want to shout out to them.
Thank you.
You can find all of these shows and a whole bunch more on albertapodcastnetwork.com. And many thanks to ATB for making it possible for us to gather all of those voices together.
Yay!
Yay! I quickly want to tell you that we're doing a thing on May 8th during Northwest Fest, which is Edmonton's nonfiction film festival. There's going to be a screening of the film Sick Boy, which is about a Halifax man who has cystic fibrosis and does a podcast about what it's like to be sick. And I think I'll be moderating a panel after that film, and we'll be seeing about doing some podcasty things in the lobby. Tickets are on sale at northwestfest.ca, and I have a present for you. If you use the offer code APNBOGO18, that's APNBOGO18, you'll get a 2-for-1 deal on your tickets. We'll have that link in the show notes, along with a whole bunch of other things that Elizabeth mentioned during this.
I actually remembered to curate it this time, so we actually have it right on hand.
Yes, so rest of the links and that offer code will be at thatsathing.libsyn.com. You can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, plus most other podcatchers. And we're on Twitter at thatsathingyeg. You can always email us a question or a comment at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com.
Yes, you can.
That cover everything?
I think that does.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye.